Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Good morning, Mutual Admiration Society, Best People We Know. Yes, feeling the love. You are going to love today's show. We have, well, you've probably been following her on Psychology Today because she has some amazing, amazing insight into the mind, body, spirit connection, mindfulness, Dr. Melanie Greenberg. We've been waiting a long, long time to get her on the show to share her talents and skills and tips and techniques to help us be our best. And, well, it's going to be worth the wait, I know. So thank you for tuning in. And if you would like to, if you're listening live, because we have a lot of people listening on replay on iTunes, they download to their mobile device, and you're going to want to do that as well. But you can speak with Dr. Melanie, 347-637-1318, 347-637-1318. Just open the chat room. You can type a question in there as well. You can always go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, and sign up for the monthly Mind Vitamin newsletter and get a listing of all of our great guests at the top of the month. Well, let's get right into who Dr. Melanie is, if you don't already know her, and what you can expect to gain out of this time with her in the next 30 minutes or so. Dr. Melanie Greenberg, she is a leader in the field of clinical health psychology. She specializes in cognitive, behavioral, integrative, mind, body, and emotion-focused approaches. Her healing work helps individuals with, and I'm going to list them for you, see if you see yourself. See if you see yourself in any one of these. I know I do. Either anxiety disorders, stress, depression, grief and trauma, chronic pain, stress-related illnesses, weight management, eating disorders, addiction, self-destructive behavior, difficult life transitions, or maybe just a relationship problem. A founding member, faculty member of the Clinical Health Psychology track of the doctoral program at the California School of Professional Psychology. She's also on the editorial boards of Health Psychology and the Annals of Behavioral Medicine, and as a special interest group chair of Complementary and Alternative Medicine for the Society of Behavioral Medicine. She's also been a reviewer of national guidelines for the treatment of chronic pain, and she's chaired symposia and delivered papers at national conferences of the American Psychological Association. Doesn't get much more credible than that. Society of Behavioral Medicine and the American Psychosomatic Society, and she's taught continuing education for health professionals. And, of course, many of you have discovered her as a regular contributor at Psychology Today, and I'm going to direct you. She's actually revamping her website, but if you go to the BTR homepage, you'll see a link, but it's www.melaniegreenbergphd.com, and then it would be another slash Marin-psychologist. But to make it easier, you can always just go and find her on Twitter, at Dr. Melanie G, and she has thousands of fans following her because she's into helping people be their best and heal, and we are so privileged and honored to welcome Dr. Melanie today. Thank you for joining us from California.
Oh, I'm so delighted to be here, Deb. It's been a pleasure getting to know you on Twitter. I feel like I know you in person, and I've really been looking forward to coming on your show. I love your spirit, and I love, I think we're very like-minded in trying to share knowledge to improve people's lives, make them happier and healthier.
Yes. Hey, Best People We Know Club, we're all positive. It's all positive. It's all good.
That's right. And creating community, which is what I'm about as well.
Yes. And for those listeners who have followed you and spoken with you typing on social media, it might be interesting to know that you're originally from South Africa, which is where that beautiful accent comes from. So you just... all around the globe, Dr. Melanie, helping souls worldwide.
That's right. I've had, I've had a lot of change in my life. I mean, coming from the other side of the world, and I think that's what brought me to mindfulness, because mindfulness is all about, you know, learning how to deal with change and to accept it and just be with it without getting too scared by it.
Well, I am very excited myself to learn more about this, and I know that our listeners are. People hear about mindfulness and how it can be helpful for some of the things that we listed at the beginning of the show, and obviously you have great results. You have a lot of clients who have stated how much these techniques have helped them heal and feel better and be happier.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we should define, or have you define, what mindfulness is for the audience so that we're starting from the same place.
That sounds good. Yeah. Yeah, it's a misunderstood term, and it's a difficult term to get a handle on in some ways because it's very experiential. You kind of got to feel it and experience it to really know it. But what I'll tell you, just in a nutshell, is that it's a mind-body practice that comes from a 2,500-year-old Eastern traditions. And it's become popular more recently in the West because there's all this powerful and well-done research with brain scanning and stuff like that that shows it can improve your brain functioning and that it works for depression, anxiety, and addictions and, you know, many of the ailments of today's world. It's paying attention deliberately or on purpose without judgment and with kindness and gentleness. So it's a way of regaining control over your attention and paying attention, but it has these qualities of being kind, non-judgmental, purposeful. Most of the time, many of us are in automatic pilot. Our brains just drift off automatically without us realizing. So how many times have you been in the shower and you're at work already in your head? You know, you don't even notice the water or that you're in the shower. Or your kid's talking to you, you're worried about how you're going to pay the bills. So you don't even see the smile on their face. And, you know, then we go into these spirals of how am I going to get everything done? And you know, I'm going to be late. As we're driving to work, we don't even notice the trees. So mindfulness is kind of the remedy for this. And helps us to be present, to be where we are, and, you know, so we don't miss out on our lives. And,
you know, I'm sure other listeners are thinking the same thing as I am listening to you. Yep, been there, done it. I mean, it's like my body may be here, but my mind is like 10 years ago, 5 years from now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. And, you know, our lives are just so fast and there's so many demands on us all the time that you know, it's very easy to do this and we lose our quality of life. You know, we lose just the pleasure just of just being in our bodies, being in our experience.
Now, what I find fascinating is it sounds very simple to do. You know, be kind, be non-judgmental, with purpose. But how difficult is it to have a thought and not judge it? It's almost impossible, but you're going to teach us and tell us why it's not, and that this embracing the mind, you know, without this judgment and with kindness will help us cope with stress, deal better, you know, have better relationships, be healthier, and just overcome a lot of internal barriers. So we are waiting with bated breath, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, and I think that's what it's different, you know, from maybe some other self-help solutions in that way. It's not detain. Yes, it's not easy. The benefits, you could feel some benefit pretty quickly, but it's kind of like you're really retraining your brain. Our brain is all going on these automatic pathways, looking for all the threats, and they just automatically do that. You know, we're looking for the tiger in the bush that we need to escape, and our brains were built that way to help us survive. So so it's really a kind of a longish process of retraining it to refocus. And you get some benefit, you know, just right at the beginning, and then it grows and grows over time, kind of like going to the gym and lifting weights. The more you practice it, the better you get. You develop your mindfulness muscle.
So this is what we're in. We're in the gym for our mind today, right, Dr. Melanie? We're gonna everybody, all of us, we're gonna get on this great health plan to exercise our mind for positive thinking, feeling, and doing. So, you know, I think the problem is not can it be done. It's just that we haven't been taught properly. I respect that you said at the beginning of the show, I think there's been a lot of confusion about the proper definition, what it really is, what it can really do, and how to really do it. So for somebody listening in the beginning, you know, right now it's like, okay, well, how do you do it? Where do you begin, Dr. Melanie? Because it can feel overwhelming.
Yeah, it can. And I think also, you know, people come up, well, how am I going to learn not to judge? Like, people come up at like almost like, you've got to block something, and it's a little different than that. It's more, well, I can judge, but I've got to, you know, just label it, okay, judging, and not get attached to it, and bring my focus back. So it's not really about suppressing anything so much as just noticing what you're doing and deliberately focusing, you know, choosing whether to focus on that or not, and not kind of getting drawn in and carried away with your own thoughts. But it really starts, I mean, the easiest way is just to focus on your breath. And they call it meditation, but people misunderstand what meditation is as well, because meditation in this sense is not emptying your mind. People don't want to do meditation because they think, I've got to try to empty my mind of thoughts. And, you know, that sounds really hard, if not, and in fact is, you know, very hard, if not impossible for many people. It's not about emptying your mind, but it's about just tuning in, focusing deliberately on something. And we start with the breath because it's one of the easiest things. So the way to begin is just to notice your breath. How does my breath feel in my nostrils when I'm under my nostrils, or in my chest when I breathe in and when I breathe out? And you just notice your chest or your stomach going up and down, you know, with the in and out breaths. And then your mind's going to go in all kinds of places. Gee, this is boring. Am I doing this right? You know, and then it's just noticing that kindly, not criticizing yourself, and bringing it back to the breath. And as you do that, you'll start noticing how your mind's working, where your mind's going, and you'll be able to, you know, learn how to bring it back when it goes into kind of a, you know, a place that you don't want to get drawn into. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. So, for example, if I am just focusing on my breath, it's like light and dark in a room. If I enter a dark room and I bring a little bit of light in, it's either going to be light or dark. It's something that you're saying, if we're focusing on our breath, it's allowing us to not focus on something else. And, you know?
That's exact. Yeah. And you can notice where it's going, but then you can choose to bring it back to the breath.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, you know, eventually when you apply this, after you've, you know, I mean, mindfulness courses are long. They're often 8 weeks. But, you know, you just can, and it's, when you, there's different levels of it, but I mean, the way to start is really just to do it for maybe 5 minutes every day, 5 or 10 minutes, something that you would keep up. But the thing is to do it daily, to do it at least 5 times a week. so that it really does, you know, it is kind of like exercise in that way. It's really building the muscle. It's really developing the skill. So after a while, it becomes habitual, and you notice where your mind's drifting off, and you're able to bring it back. And it starts with the breath, but, you know, you then can practice other things as well, like mindfulness of a body scan, mindfulness of your body. So you can start at your feet and going, you know, slowly to your ankles and your knees and all the way up your body sequentially. You can notice what's going on in all the different parts of your body without judging it. You know, what does it feel? Is it heavy? Is it light? You know, are there any areas where there's tension or discomfort? And you can imagine breath going into those areas. And so you become aware of your body in a different way. So there's a whole lot going on in our bodies that we don't really realize. So oftentimes if I'm with a client and they're talking about just feeling sad or fearful or feeling bad about themselves, and I say, well, where do you feel this in your body? Many times they feel tight in their chest, constricted, heavy. And, you know, they really wouldn't have realized this if they didn't direct attention there. But there's all this stuff going on that many times, you know, over the years can then result in chronic pain, or it can result in shallow breathing, anxiety, sometimes even health problems.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that more people are becoming aware and embracing this body-mind connection today than, say, you know, so many years ago. But I'd
Absolutely,
you know, which I think is a really good thing, which is why your show is featured, because people want to learn about that.
It's trendy.
It's true. It's so good. But let's try to give listeners, if you want to call in and ask Dr. Melanie something specifically that you're dealing with, that maybe it's stress related, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's something that you've dealt with in chronic pain, maybe it's some sort of an internal barrier that you'd like to overcome, a fear, whatever it is, you can speak with Dr. Melanie. This is a rare opportunity to speak with her. 347-637-1318, 347-637-1318, just hit #1, that'll put you through to the switchboard. But for somebody who might have a difficult, let's take a common one, most people, maybe it's a marriage issue or a relationship issue, mm-hmm. or something with a child, and mm-hmm. they're having, you know, it seems to be the same problem, you know, maybe he's not listening, or maybe she's not listening, or maybe mm-hmm. I don't like what they're doing. When that situation, that trigger comes up, what mm-hmm. would you tell them to do to practice the mindfulness technique?
Well, that's actually a really good way to ask, I think. This is a good situation for practicing mindfulness, because often what happens is you get carried away. You sort of have these scripts about people, especially if, you know, say it's in a marriage that's not happy or something. You have a script. You build up all the stuff from the past, and so say your husband isn't listening to you. You often would overreact to that because you have this whole dialogue in your head about them, like, they never listen, and, gee, they're so selfish, and they don't really care about me, and remember this other time, you know, 2 years ago when they did this and this and that, and you know, and they're always going to be like this, and we're always going to be. So some of this is even below the level of consciousness, but we overreact then to, you know, to small things that the people close to us do, because we in the past, we have this whole script and we're judging. And so what mindfulness would do would be, first of all, just to if we find ourselves, you know, getting kind of carried away in the anger, it's just to focus on our breaths, to reground ourselves, and then to notice what's happening with us. You know, what are we feeling in our bodies right now? What are we thinking? And to kind of get it, and to realize, oh, we're going into our script again, we're judging, and, you know, we're getting all tensed up, and you know, the blood's flowing to our face or whatever, and just to try to notice that, maybe to refocus our attention on the breath, on the fact that, you know, this is a person that we love and care about, and then to try to see the person in a new way, to be sort of more open, like, okay, what's happening with them right now? Or, you know, look, they seem stressed, or, you know, they seem very stressed right now. They seem preoccupied with their work, or they're struggling. So you kind of, you know, you tune into that person in a more neutral kind of a way, and that can lead to really understanding them and where they're coming from, separate from your own script and needs.
Mm.
And that can allow you to have more openness and empathy and listen to them, too, in a mindful way.
Mm. So, you know, and I can see how I can connect how you're suggesting or you know, really directing us to every day practice this mindfulness of just the breathing to get into a pattern, a different pattern. You know, if I cross my arms right over left my whole life, and then somebody tells me, well, if you cross your arms left over right, all your problems will disappear. My goodness, I may want the end result, but it's going to be awkward because I've been doing it my whole life right over left, and now you're telling me left over right. So the left over right is, okay, every day I'm going to practice a little bit left over right. I'm going to practice being aware of my breathing. And then when I get in that situation, I love that old saying, Dr. Melanie, when the time to perform has arrived, the time to prepare has passed. So we have to
I love
this.
It too.
Isn't that great? I don't know who said it. If somebody knows, send me an email. But, you know, the thing that you're trying to show, if I'm understanding you properly, is when we do this every day with the breathing, what we'll be able to do in that situation of the husband, you know, when the script comes, you know, it's like an avalanche. It's only
five
words, but the avalanche of life just comes like a tsunami.
Feelings,
you know,
of anger. I mean, it comes so quickly as well.
Yes, it's automatic. So what we have to do is put the brakes on, just like the car going out of control. Put the brakes on. But now we know we have brakes. Mindfulness is
We know we
break.
Have brakes. I love that.
And then when we get the break, then we can reassess the situation in a more factual, objective way, because I think we're all on subjective automatic pilot, and my stinking thinking doesn't get me anywhere good. So I kind
of
dump that joke, you know?
Most of us, it doesn't. And then that's because our brains have a natural negative bias. That's what brain research in the last 10 years is showing us. Our brains naturally go to the negative, and they go there very fast. Because they're like survival machines. They were built to help us survive. That's the main reason we have brains. And so the information actually gets to like the lower brain center, the amygdala, and it's like if you see a snake in the road, you'll have a freak out kind of reaction before you even know that it's a snake, because the information goes to those lower centers and faster and gets all the alarm bells ringing. And then it's slower for it going up into like our cortex, our higher brain, actually processing the information. That's why it's got this automatic pattern that kind of, you know, gets us tripped up. And we've got to learn to become aware of that and kind of override it. But it takes a lot of practice because it's going to go to the negative paces very fast and with great urgency.
Right. You know, Lael has there's a question in the chat room, so I want to make sure I get that out. But, you know, if people want to call in, you can. You know, I just want to say that I feel a sense of relief to know that this is not just me, that, yes, your brain is designed. Hey, come on, all of us, all right? We're all in this skin suit situation together. There's nothing wrong with you, so.
Right, I know. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
The other thing is we personalize it a lot. And we say, you know, well, this is me. Why am I like this? You know, are there something wrong with me? And start judging ourselves and being kind of mean to ourselves. So, yeah, it's really good to know that these, you know, most of the things we do, there was originally a functional reason for it. We originally did it to survive in some way. And the situation may have changed, and it's, you know, it's got dysfunctional aspects, but it's for a reason.
Right. But the great thing is that it's a skill that can be learned and unlearned, and it can be applied to just about anything. Now, Lael has a question. We love Lael. She's one of our best people.
Hi, Lael.
Hi, we all know. We're all in the Twitterverse. the terrific people
so
team,
nice
you know?
To speak in person.
Isn't that great? Well, she's going to try to call in, but she was just writing. Now, she said, I would love to know how to use this technique dealing with chronic pain associated with fibromyalgia and rheumatoid arthritis. Love to both of you. Thank you. Well, we love you too, Lale. So could
yeah,
you comment
nice.
On that? Because that's a lot of people are dealing with that. It's tough. And I know chronic
very
pain.
Tough.
I've had neck injury. It's C4, C5. And, oh, my gosh, chronic pain. That'll depress you if nothing will.
Yeah. In fact, there's a huge overlap between chronic pain and depression. I think more than 50% of chronic pain patients are actually clinically depressed. And part of it, I mean, it's reactive. A lot of it's reactive to the pain. It's like it's that lack of control. You know, it's just a really aversive thing, and then you try and you try, and you know, the medical system kind of lets you down. You try and, you know, to go to all these different people, spend all this money and time, and, you know, and they still, most of the time, it doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
You can get really, like, really frustrated. You start feeling helpless. So mindfulness, chronic pain is a really serious problem, and our medical system is not really set up to deal with it well because it is a mind-body problem. But sometimes, you know, you just can't get rid of the pain. It is there, and then it becomes changing, but you can change your experience of it so it becomes less aversive.
Well, let's try and go through that, if we could. Let's say if Lale was in the office right now with you, let's say we're all sitting with you in your office now, and we've come to you and, you know, saying, Dr. Melanie, I've got this chronic pain. I deal with, you know, this fibromyalgia and rheumatoid arthritis, and you would help us work through the exercise in what way? Where would you begin with us?
Okay, so assume you'd had, you know, already some basic practice with the breath and, you know, learning.
Yes.
So
we've been
on.
Doing our homework every day,
oh, good. Okay, you're good students. So what I would say is just, you know, to focus on the area where you have pain and to just to send, you know, some breath into that area and then to just notice your pain in a way as if you were going to almost describe it, but without, and also notice, you know, the things you're saying to yourself about it, where your mind's going. And the idea is really just to, if you find, if, you know, become aware of what your mind's doing, and your mind might be saying things to yourself like, oh my God, there's my pain again, this is terrible, why can't I get rid of it? And it's just, you know, what's going to happen, and you know, I went to all these doctors and nothing helps. And just, so first of all, it's just becoming aware of the script in your mind that gets associated with that pain and makes it worse, and, you know, it becomes aversive, and your desire to just get rid of the pain, you know, to shove it away. So you start becoming aware of what your mind's doing, and then just watch it, just watch that, and then slowly bring your attention just back to the pain. And observe it. Is it heavy? Is it light? Is it still? Is it moving? You know, what is that pain? What does it feel like? Separate from all those judgments about it. And then try to send some breath into that area. Notice. Then what you would do is kind of change your focus to your whole body. So you would notice your whole body breathing, and at the same time notice that your pain is there, but, you know, it's one part of your body. Your whole body is breathing, and then you notice your pain spot, and you can see it as part of sort of the whole you, contained within that in breath and that out breath, not being your whole reality, just being one part of you. So those are some of the ideas in a nutshell.
Mm. Now, I don't know, Lale was listening as the others, but for me, my personal experience that I found as I was listening to you take me through that, because I was considering my neck, because I tell you, that's chronic, it's like an arthritis in my neck in that area. You know, it's almost like, wow, my thought, I'm sort of aware of my thought. So, you know, it's kind of like, why am I thinking that? Realizing that I am not the thought. The thought is separate from me. And sometimes in the midst of pain, without doing what you just, you know, took us through, it almost feels like I am my pain. My pain is my whole is me. But
it's
in
me,
doing that mindfulness, I felt like, you know, my thought is up in the air. Kind of like I think of those cartoons with the little, the round circles above the person's head, how the it's separate from the person. It's almost like taking it out. Separate from me, so I feel less victimized, I guess, is the word I would use.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a sensation in your body that's a changing sensation as well. And if you practice it, you'll see how it changes. It doesn't stay the same all the time. And it's really, I think people do get so caught up in it being, because of the helplessness, because, you know, that feeling of having tried so hard to push it away and you can't. You do feel victimized. You do feel consumed. But when you just watch it in that way, it actually can. You'll see it change. It ebbs. It flows. It moves. There's aspects to it you don't realize. And there's a part of it that's just coming from your mind. It's just a dialogue about it. It's doubling the suffering of the experience. So you need to learn to see your pain separate from that kind of detached suffering.
Yeah, put it in a compartment and let's ship it away. Let's ship it away overseas. No, but not to South Africa.
Or just let it be there. But you know, it's like, but gain some distance from it, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like, say you're at the hub of a wheel. You're in the center of a wheel, you know, and there's all the thoughts and stuff spinning around you. But you're kind of in the still place where you can watch it. And see it, but it doesn't consume you.
Right, and detaching from it. And Lael's making some comments, and she's saying thank you very, very much. And pain is what happens. I mean, people have pain. That's part of life. But these techniques and tools can help heal that. You know, that new way of thinking, doing, and being. It's all connected. I wanted to get to another question before we run out of time. We have somebody in the chat room who's talking about memory loss and not being able to remember people's names that she, you know, at one time were very important. And she's saying, she's wondering if her brain's starting to get damaged because her best friend can remember things back from first grade. Do you have any comments about mindfulness and why she feels like she's losing her memory, why she finds it difficult to remember things that she feels other people can easily remember?
Well, you know, I can't ethically comment on her particular situation because I would have to see her in person. But what I can say generally, what I know, not necessarily to do with mindfulness, but what I know from science and research is that there is some natural deterioration of memory with age. We do lose our ability to remember as we get older. I mean, I've just turned 51, and I struggle with names too, you know, and with all this. So it just really, I don't know to what extent she's talking about. You know, she could speak to a doctor and get it checked out if she's really concerned, but it may just be normal aging.
That's the story that I'm
Yeah, or if you have a lot going on. That's the other, normal aging or a lot going on. That, you know, your mind can only contain so much. So, go ahead.
Best ever you. You know Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, our dear friend and Motivation Marathon co-host. She's in the chat room. And
great.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of great guests and new people. And, you know,
great.
I think that, you know, it's wonderful. And if you want to call in and say hello, folks, before we run out of time, it's 347-637-1318. But, you know, I love this idea. It doesn't cost a lot of money. It's very simple. And, you know, sometimes it's the hard things are not, it's not difficult. It's just the consistency in what you're teaching. So let's get listeners the ability to connect with you in other ways, because I tell you, I absolutely love your articles on Psychology Today
and your
website and the work you're doing, and you're on Twitter. You're a real person. You have real loving kindness. You have a real heart. And,
you
have real things. I mean, I know that one of the shows we were going to schedule, and you'd recently lost your mom, and,
That's right.
A daughter.
Yeah.
You are a real person, and I want people to connect with you. So give us how they can do that.
Thank you. I'm developing it. It's been a real wonderful journey for me. So I spent many years in academia. Kind of just, being very much of a left brain academic. I think I always had my heart, but much of my attention, was focused in a way on knowledge and mentoring students and writing articles. And more recently, kind of due to a life change and also midlife and kind of really, really not wanting to get out there and work with patients, and take my knowledge into sort of the broader world, I changed my focus and I opened my practice. I moved from San Diego to the Bay Area. And I just kind of started a blog online to promote my practice originally. And because I missed teaching people. And it just blossomed into meeting all these wonderful people like you. And so what I want to say in a nutshell is that I'm in process. I have a website, but it's more for my practice. I'm busy building a professional website, which will be www.melaniegreenbergphd.com, but it's going to take me probably, a month or two to get that completely up. You can look at my professional website because it has links to my academic articles. I've written a bunch of book chapters and academic articles in areas of dealing with trauma, dealing with pain. And some of it focuses really on the science. I've done my own research on it. You can, if you want coaching, I'm open to doing coaching. I'm licensed in New York and California, so those are the states that I can do therapy. If you live in New York and California, I could do therapy via Skype, if we assess it to be appropriate. And then I'm working on a book on mindfulness and emotion. So hopefully, that'll be coming out. Once my website's up, I hope to offer seminars, e-books, courses. So I believe over the next year or two, it'll be expanding and you'll be able to get many different things from me. I'm just hurrying to get it's just a matter of time to get them all out.
And Lael,
it happens so fast for me.
Yes, and Lael's also talking about your great Facebook page at Facebook at Mindful. See, we've got these self-express, these earth angels. This is what we do. We help each other. So this is what's so good about this community of positive people. But Mindful Self-Express. Mindful Self-Express. I love that community, and Lael's talking about that. She's also commenting on your recent article on regret that she loved. But
the Mindful Self-Express blog on Psychology Today. Thank you, Lael. So, I had written an article. So you can go to my Facebook page, or you can just go to Psychology Today online, www.psychologytoday.com, and you can just put in the search box, just put Melanie Greenberg or put Mindful Self-Express, and you'll get to my blog.
And one of the, I can't remember exactly what the article was, but one of the things that I love, love, love about your articles, and I don't know how you do it, we'll have to talk sometime just about that.
Yeah.
You get the best visual images. I'm such a visual person. And you had one article you were talking about this, it was the mindfulness, letting go, just being aware, and you had a picture. I don't know where you found it, but it was like all of these waves and waves and waves, and it had this person there, and it was like, what if you just were aware, like the waves on the beach coming and going, and not judging, just coming and going. But that, I don't know where you found that picture, but the picture was like, wow, I'm having an aha moment.
I'm very visual, very, very visual. And I can just get just suck in the energy from pictures, just get the joy. I don't know, it seems to bring the experience to life. So, I like decorating, things like that. So wannabe artist, I guess. So I guess it just I look hard, you know, I put and something just clicks sometimes. I just find that match.
Yeah.
So thank you, though, for noticing that.
Yeah, it's just terrific.
I like, you know, Pinterest as well, by the way.
You like
Pinterest,
what?
Pinterest, I don't know how you say it, but I have an account there as well, just under Melanie. I'm just trying to remember how you would find me.
Oh, on Pinterest,
Greenberg,
yeah.
M1 Greenberg or something. Geez, I don't know. Just
we're going to find you. We're going to, you know, Lael's got these.
Yeah.
She's got everything about you. She's got typed in there. And then I've got Elizabeth Hamilton.
Thank you so much.
All right. So,
takes a village. I appreciate you guys so much.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you. We all help each other. You know, it's just amazing. I'm always saying, I hope other people enjoyed the show as much as me, because I love my own show so much. I've learned so much. I was excited.
I love your show as well. I mean, I feel you've got this manner. I just feel really relaxed, and you know, you can kind of when you're relaxed and you feel, you know, connected and cared. You have a caring manner that I think makes people relax and helps them give their best information.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, the Best People We Know Club, we're all in it, executive offices today. But, you know, I think that, you know, just being aware and considering a new thought and planting a new seed, a new way of thinking in the garden of your life, you know, we don't know how that's going to grow and how that's going to develop. So
mm-hmm.
I would like to say that I believe, you know, my faith, you know, you could say God or the universe, that nobody is here by accident. If you've
mm-hmm.
been praying, if you've been in pain, if you've mm-hmm. been suffering, if you've been down and out, it's not an accident that you've now listened to Dr. Melanie talk about mindfulness. Don't be so judgmental on yourself or your thoughts. You know, don't make a moment in life the entire description of your whole life. And Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie is an expert in this, and I think you can tell, I think we can all see, she's from the heart and she really cares about you as a human person. And your life is too important to take for granted. Granted, you're worth this self-investment, so I'm encouraging everybody to connect with her either on that Facebook page, Mindful Self Express, on her new website, Psychology Today, and also Twitter. I mean, you have some of the best Twitter, Tweeple, Twitterverse studies, tweeps, yes. And how can people find you on Twitter as well?
It's at Dr. Melanie G. M-E-L-A-N-I-E, Dr. M-E-L-A-N-I-E-G. And if you want to email me, it's melaniegreenberg@comcast.net. You can email me directly as well.
Wow, is that a gift? Okay. We are all very appreciative of that, and now that you're out there on replay, and I know that people will, I think that, you know, the iTunes is great because you can download the content that you've shared with us onto a mobile device, and if you're walking the dog or you're in the car going to the grocery store, you know, you can replay it. Do you find that sometimes on the second and third time when you listen to something, you learn something new that you didn't hear before?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you asking me or your audience?
Yes, I'm asking you. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot to absorb because this is such a new way of thinking and a new way of looking at the world. So I think sometimes you may need to listen to it more than once to really kind of get it, to understand what it is. It's a
right.
whole paradigm shift in a way.
Absolutely. Well, I know we're out of time, and you've been very generous with your time calling from California. It's a little bit earlier out there, and you have a busy day ahead. But I want to thank you so much for sharing your shine with us. We love you. We appreciate you. You're making the world a better place. Straight to heaven with you. You're one of those people that helps you get to heaven instead of hell. We need more people like you in the world, Dr. Melanie, because there's enough of the other, right? So,
right. Well, we're on the same team, I think.
Yes, we're on the same team. I love it. And we're on the winning team. So the BTR lady is telling me we're all out of time. So connect with Dr. Melanie. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody listening. We're over 70,000 listeners strong now, and it's not because of me, because I don't know 70,000. I don't have 70,000 people. I know it's all you people doing this. But if you keep sharing the show with a friend, then I can keep bringing you great guests like Dr. Melanie, and we all help each other. So in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, remember to be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. The world needs you. Go out there and be your best. God bless you, and thank you again, Dr. Melanie, and all of our great listeners. Go out and make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know.